welcome to the New Beginnings Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message from our Sunday service. For more information about our church, please visit us online at newbeginningscos.com.
Last week, we dove into one of my favorite books. It's one that I think is rarely talked about from the front, but we dove into Song of Songs. And we did like a lightning fast overview of the book and of why I think it's so valuable for every believer. I actually think it can be a foundational component in our intimacy with God. So I highly recommend, if you haven't had a chance yet, or if you weren't here that week, to check that out on the podcast, because that really has been a foundational message for me. A lot of what I'm teaching you guys, it's interesting, even today, I had a whole... I tell you guys this a lot. You getting tired of it yet? I have a whole idea that I was going to teach about, and the Lord's like, nope, you're gonna shift it. And so, and that happened last week too. And the Lord's really been pulling out things that have been ways that He's ministered to me in my life, ways that I've sought Him, and ways that I've encountered Him. And He's been challenging me a lot to just share a lot of that with you. And so, so I loved our deep dive into Song of Songs, but today we're going into kind of maybe, again, another strange topic that isn't talked about a lot. But today I want to talk about song and spirit. I want to talk about song and spirit, which is kind of appropriate. We didn't plan that I would be helping with worship this morning, but it kind of fits in with where we're going today. I've shared with you guys before, I wasn't always a musical person. And I'll share a little bit more of that today. But I want to talk about how God uses song in our lives. Not just song, but prophetic song. The kind of music that flows out of us that's not just nice, but actually connected with His Spirit and connected with our spirits. I believe that there's something powerful that God wants us to absorb about this today. So when we look at the Old Testament, the interesting thing is about half of the Old Testament references to the Messiah. So we know in the Old Testament, there's prophecies about Jesus coming. We know there's going to be a Messiah. In the Old Testament, half of those prophecies are found in the Psalms. And it's very interesting to me that half of those prophecies happen in the context of songs that were written for worship. These songs that were written for worship, there's more in them than just praise. There's actually revelation of what God's going to be doing on the earth. And I don't even know how much they understood of that at the time. I have a sense that sometimes David was writing this music and things would flow out of him and he'd be like, oh, wow, I don't know where that came from, but I'm going to hold on to that. That's good. And he's like, I don't even know what that means really, but it's from him. It's right. It's on. And there's something about when we get into the place of song with the Lord, it actually can begin to activate our spirits. Because a lot of times what happens with music is it bypasses your mind and it gets right to the spirit. Has anybody ever encountered this? Have you ever cried at a song or like in a movie? Like, I'm going to share about one of mine in a minute here, but I love, like, I'm a soundtrack buff. So like when I'm writing or studying, like my wife, like, and I don't play it like softly. I will blast in my office like instrumental worship or movie soundtracks or jazz. Like that's my stuff, you know, or maybe like lo-fi. But but music moves me, because what it does is I get stuck in my head. It's interesting, I'm not by nature a head person, but I grew up protecting myself by living out of my head. And it took learning how to reaccess my emotions and how to reaccess my spirit for me to break out of making every decision just out of what I could do up here. And so the Lord really did that a lot in me through music. My first encounter with the Holy Spirit was through a song, and they were singing this song about lover of my soul, and I'm on my face on the ground and I'm weeping and I'm like, God, how could you ever accept a soul as dark as mine? And I had this incredible moment with the Lord. But it was music that bypassed my rational, like, okay, here's what's happening and people are on the stage and here's the lyrics and I don't like that song. You know, so often I think we get into this thing where we start analyzing everything around us. And honestly, a lot of times that's a protective mechanism. A lot of times we don't analyze because that thing actually needs to be analyzed. It's not actually helpful. It's a protective mechanism, because if I analyze, I'm keeping myself occupied and my heart is not being accessed. And for those of us that's ever been wounded, Some of us are very afraid of having our heart accessed. It's not what we want because it feels vulnerable, it feels scary. And so we block that out with analytical thinking. I think we do that sometimes when we hear worship in church. We can go, oh, I don't know about the theology of that song. And we can go, oh, I don't know about the, you know, I don't like this style. And listen, guys, I'm preaching to myself here. There's so many songs, Kath will tell you, that I'm like, oh, I hate that song. But then I have a decision to make, right? I can sit there and go, oh, I don't like the song. I don't like the flow. I don't like the sound. There's one in particular I'm not going to mention because some people here probably love it. And it's a good song theologically. I don't like the sound of it. We can nitpick both. You know that? We can analyze and critique both. I think what we need to do, though, is instead of evaluating how good a song is, either how good theologically or how good how much I like it, we need to evaluate how true our worship is. Because when I'm singing, I want what's coming out of me to be true. I don't, you know, it's so easy just to fall into the rote religious way of like mouthing the words and the lyrics are flowing out, but there's not a connection point. And I think it's so important that we actually allow worship to touch us in the place of our spirit, in the place of our emotions. And that requires us to step aside from the analytical, oh, I don't like this song, or oh, that's not a good song, and get into the heart of it. One of my favorite songs, and there's been a lot of critiques about it, is Reckless Love. And some people go, oh, well, God's love isn't reckless. And, you know, you can nitpick the theology of it, or you can get into the heart of it. Because what we're saying is God loves you so much. He has chased you down. He has done so much for you. He's poured himself out on you. And while some people are sitting here tripping over the word reckless, God's like, I want a moment with you right now if you would just look at me. Because that word is so much less important than right now. Just look in my eyes. I'm right here. I'm available in this moment. There's another worship song that has the phrase sloppy wet kiss, and some people go, well, unforeseen kiss. We're going to change it from sloppy wet kiss because God's kisses aren't sloppy and wet. God's a very neat kisser. Did you know? God is a neat kisser. It's not sloppy wet kiss. It's unforeseen. You know, I actually feel unforeseen sounds a lot creepier. It's like you're walking and you just get a kiss. I don't even know who just kissed me. Who just kissed me? That was unforeseen. Like, I did not see that coming. It's a little bit like, hey, can you give me a warm-up here? Again, either way, you can get into nitpicky mode, or we can say there's something the Lord wants us to encounter in that moment of the kisses of his word upon our heart. Just like we read in Song of Songs last week, that first verse in Song of Songs, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. That saying, let him kiss me with the kisses of his word. Like, I don't care if they're sloppy, wet, or unforeseen. God, I want to be kissed by your spirit. I want the intimate touch of your presence with me. And I'm not going to get nitpicky about it. I'm not going to self-protect by analyzing. When we talk about music, it's so interesting how it moves us. If you've heard me teach for any length of time, you know I love the Lord of the Rings movies. And one of the cool things about Lord of the Rings is in the mythology that Tolkien created of the Lord of the Rings, the God figure sung the world into creation. So we talk about, you know, Genesis, God spoke and everything happened. Well, what would happen if there was a melody to his speaking? What if he sung creation into existence? I love that Tolkien pulled that out because it's not just this, you know, this left-brained, like, God's A, B, C, here's the world and here's the plants and here's the, but there's an art to it, there's a beauty to it, there's a creative expression, and there's a love to it. And love so often is so beautifully expressed through song. So we talk about how music can activate your spirit. I want to talk about this first on a practical, like, earth level, and then I want to break into some of the verses and the theology behind it. But when you talk about activating your spirit, that was the word that really kind of sprang up in me as I was putting this together. And what the Lord brought my mind to was physical therapy. In physical therapy, where you have to activate a certain muscle. Some of you guys are very well acquainted with that, and maybe some of you aren't. I'm going to read some medical gobbledygook, and then I'm going to translate it. So the Brooke Bush Institute defines muscle activation exercise as an intervention developed with the intent of addressing a muscle that is exhibiting a reduction in activity or tone. So that muscle is getting weaker as a result of or contributing to postural dysfunction. In other words, one part of your body, the posture is out. It's not operating. It's not bending the way that it should be. It's not as strong as it should be. And that's caused one or more muscles to get out of whack. And it says here, in other words, if your postural assessment pointed to particular muscle imbalances in which a muscle is probably underactive, allowing dominance of other muscles, then a personal trainer could take the time to help the client reconnect with the underactive muscle. Activating a muscle can be achieved by first isolating the underactive muscle as much as possible with a simple exercise to establish a neural connection from brain to muscle. I keep pointing to my leg because that kind of makes sense to me when I think about this. And it says, oftentimes this connection between the neural connection from the brain to the muscle has become disrupted by chronic compensation and a faulty pattern that has become hardwired. In other words, your body has gotten so used to doing things the wrong way, and everything else in your body has gotten so used to compensating for that weaker muscle that the problem gets worse and worse and worse. And you actually have to isolate that muscle specifically and separate it from the other ones in order for it to grow strong enough for everything to function back in sync again. Guys, I think that this happens so much with our spirit. In our lives, it's so easy to operate out of our mind. It's so easy to operate out of our emotions. It's actually very difficult. For most of us, it's not very natural or normal initially to operate from your spirit and to let your spirit lead. And I think as a result, what ends up happening is we end up in this chronic pattern where our being is out of whack because we're over-relying and the emotions and the mind are doing things that really they weren't designed to do alone. They were designed to do in sync with your spirit. We're a whole being. But what ends up happening is our connection with our spirit, that neural connection, right? I don't even know how that works, right? But mind, emotion, it's all interconnected. So in some ways, instead of running to connection with our spirit and ultimately with the Lord's spirit, we go to the mind and we go to the emotions. Is this clicking? Is this okay? So I think what ends up happening is we become spiritually weak. Our spirits become weakened. And in a lot of ways, if you think about our spirit, it's our connection with God. It's where, listen, he can meet us in the mind and he can meet us in the emotions, but the spirit, it's spirit to spirit. There's something powerful about that particular point of our connection with him. And if that's weak, that's where our health flows from. So a weakened spirit results in a weakened spiritual immune system, right? So your body, you're trying to compensate things with my emotions that I shouldn't have to just process there. I need the empowerment of his spirit to walk through some of these things, not just making myself feel good. A self-help book isn't going to get me there. Even just the right patterns of thinking aren't going to get me there. I actually need a flow of spiritual life coming into me. The other thing is the spirit's the power center, right? God's spirit operating in us, and he likes to flow out in power through us. We're not alone. We're not just here to muscle through everything with our own strength. I've talked a lot about all of this stuff, so I'm not going to dive super deep into this, but I think the key is without strength in our spirit, our emotions begin to falter and our mind begins to falter. And I think that's one of the reasons that it says David strengthened himself in the Lord. There's a verse in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. So what had just happened, and I've spoken about this before, but David and his men had gone out and they were fighting a battle, and when they come back, all of their wealth, their wives, their kids were stolen away. And the camp is not happy. The men that just came back with him, they're very frustrated. And it says in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, now David was greatly distressed. Capture this. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. This is bad. Because the soul of all the people was grieved. Capture this. The soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. So David was feeling the same despair. It says he was greatly distressed. So all of their souls are grieved. But it's saying the ones that are grieving over here, they're going to solve the problem by trying to stone David. And David solves the problem by strengthening himself in the Lord. And he says there's something about that connection with the Lord and turning inward. And you know, I believe that David actually saying his feelings to God. I don't just believe that. It's clear in the Bible that he's saying his feelings to God. And I think when it says he strengthened himself in the Lord, there's a piece of him turning inward and just going, one of those songs of just remembrance, of connection with God, going, God, you're faithful. God, you're strong. I know you are good. And like whatever it is, whatever the melodies are that he came up with. Psalm 57:7 is David's in another situation that's like this. And I want you to see how he strengthens himself here. He's hiding from Saul in the caves. He's being chased down. Saul's coming to murder him. And in Psalm 57:7, it says, my heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. Now, right before this verse, he's talking about they're lying in wait for me to throw me in a pit. So he's not expressing like, I'm secure, I'm stable, I'm steady. He's expressing like, I'm distressed. They're coming after me. They're about to kill me. And then in verse 7, he goes, my heart is steadfast, O Lord. My heart is steadfast. You know what it means when they repeat something in Scripture? It's emphasis. It's not just saying, my heart is steadfast. It's saying, my heart is steadfast. There's an emphasis on it. Why do you think he would need to emphasize that? I can think of two reasons. I can think of one. He wasn't quite feeling steadfast. He was making a declaration. A declaration is saying, this is what I am going to choose in my life, even though I'm not feeling it in that moment. I don't feel steadfast. Everything's shaking around me. They're about to kill me, but I am steadfast. Or the other alternative option, because I want to give both sides, maybe he wasn't feeling steadfast and the Lord imparted that into him and he goes, my heart is steadfast. But catch with the verse, the part that comes next. Right after he says, my heart is steadfast, he says, I will sing and make music. I will sing and make music. I believe that for David, song and music was actually the what began to bring that peace to him, but also what established him in that peace. Once the Lord brought that connection, David established himself in music, in song. There's another verse in Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3. It says, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Again, David goes, he's established my steps. When we think of David strengthening himself in the Lord, establishing himself, there's a security that comes from that place. The very next verse, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. The act of singing, the act of engaging with the Lord in the place of song is a powerful way to establish our spirit when the rest of us is feeling weak. There's a song in my heart all the time, whether or not I recognize it. The question is, what is the song that's playing in your heart? Is the song anxiety? Is the song fear of what's going on in your life? Is it depression? Is it discouragement? Is it overthinking every little step that you've got going on? What is the song that's playing? And did you know that you can change the channel? Did you know the Lord can put a new song in your heart? Sometimes, though, it requires us to sing the old one. David sang his depression. He sang his fear. He sang his discouragement. He sang everything. That was his journal. His journal was, God, this stinks right now. This is awful. My life is bad, and everybody's out to get me, and nobody's doing the right thing. And then in almost every psalm, he switches into, but you're good. And I don't think that he is mustering that up. I actually believe that in the process of him singing out his pain to God, God comes and meets him, and all of a sudden his internal song shifts, and he's going, I'm singing out my pain, but now I feel your presence, and now I can't think about my pain anymore because I'm so focused on your goodness. You've shifted my mind. My mind was so in the gutter and in the pit, and now all of a sudden, just because I've been expressing it to you, you have come and ministered to me and shifted me, and my spirit is becoming activated in you again. You can say amen, Herman. I see that. Ephesians 5, let's look at this in the New Testament. In Ephesians 5, 18 and 19 says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, where? In your heart to the Lord. When we make melody in our heart to the Lord, listen, it says, be filled with the Spirit, and then it explains how to be filled with the Spirit. Did you catch that? Be filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking to one another in psalms, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It actually activates our spirit and connects us with His. That's how we can connect in a way that bypasses the mind and the emotions. Ephesians, same verse in a different translation. I want to read it real quick. It says, be filled continually with the Holy Spirit, and your hearts will overflow with a joyful song to the Lord. Keep speaking to each other with words of scripture, singing the psalms with praises and spontaneous songs given by the Spirit. This isn't just about singing your favorite worship song. This is about singing the song of your heart, making melody in your heart. Colossians 3:16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Do you want the message of Christ to dwell among you richly? I do. And then it says, as you teach and admonish one another with strictness and rigidity and legal. No, as you teach and admonish one another through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Did you know that our hearts can be taught through song? Song actually instructs our hearts. It actually teaches our hearts, hey, you're not alone. There's a Spirit, and He is with you. And when you allow that Spirit to be with you, not only are you not alone, but you're instructed in how to turn to Him instead of just focus on all of the things that you're feeling right now. That's why I say this is how we activate our spirits. Music hits a place of truth in us that mere words cannot. So the idea of prophetic song, when he said, when it's saying sing spontaneous songs or the song of your heart, prophetic song. What I love about the idea of a prophetic song is that it's not just, listen, prophetic is more than just foretelling. It's not always just about the future. Actually, what prophetic means a lot of times in Scripture is about taking what is unseen and manifesting it into reality. Taking what God sees and what God knows and what God observes and making it clear and apparent for us. His heart, His will, God's perspective can be expressed to us, and that can be prophetic, because all of a sudden what I see with my own eyes is somebody that's in massive pain and distress and struggling, but what God sees is someone who's an overcomer, who has an anointing to actually impart healing to other people. Do you understand there's a massive difference sometimes between what we see and what the Lord sees? And so prophetic means we declare the reality, and that's true over our own lives as well. I look at my life, and listen, if I look at my life in a human perspective, there's many times when I can look at that and go, this is a disaster. This is not good. This is, who put this mess together and gave it to me? Because this isn't my fault. But when I switch to His perspective, I get to prophetically see and declare over my life, oh, this is so good. Oh, there's so much to be grateful for. Oh, there's so much that is supernaturally perfect. I couldn't have planned this better. God, you have set me up for success. And that's not fooling myself. That's seeing His perspective. That's seeing, but that comes from me a lot of times through the place of singing. The movie Prince of Egypt, have you guys seen that? I love that one. Here's the one where I'm going to tell you about how I cry. Every time I watch that movie. The scene where they're finally free and the Egyptians are conquered and they're walking out and they're singing the song, There Can Be Miracles, and then the music goes down. I'm going to cry just talking about it. The music goes down and it just shows this little girl and you just hear her start singing in Hebrew. And here's why that gets me so much. One, the singing is just full of joy. And it's just full of joy. But two, she has no clue the hardship that everybody else experienced. Listen, I know this is a cartoon, okay? Bear with me. But as a kid, she doesn't know how hard slavery was. She didn't watch people die. I mean, she may have seen some hard things, okay? But at that age, like, to have the amount of massive joy and yet not even fully understanding why, it's a reason to be joyful. Does that make sense? And the people who truly knew why there was a reason to be joyful, for some of them, it was so much harder for them to choose that actual joy. They'd seen all the horrors of slavery, and you read through the scripture, and they're immediately discounting God, and they're saying, why'd you bring us out to the desert to die? They saw the miracles with their own eyes. After they saw the horrors of slavery, nobody knew better than them why they should be joyful and sing, and yet they can't get it. Because they're stuck in the emotions and they're stuck in the mind and they don't know how to access the spirit. And this little girl, this little kid, just knows something just shifted. And I don't fully understand what it was or why it was, but she didn't have all the emotional baggage. Listen, I'm reading way into this, okay, guys? But do you see the reality of what I'm talking about? Sometimes I think we actually need a little less understanding and a little more joy. Psalm 150, verses 1 through 5 says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and the lyre, praise him with timbrel and dancing, praise him with strings and pipe, praise him with the clash of cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals. This is one of the reasons I have such a hard time. I don't understand groups that say, oh, you can't dance in church. I'm like, well, where can you dance? This is the best place for it. Listen, God loves when we allow the purity of what's in our hearts to just be expressed to him. Ultimately, I think that's something that he is looking for, that he's longing for from us. He's given us song as a source of beauty and inspiration, but it's also a gift to give back to him. And through that gift, as we worship him, as we sing to him, did you know you can't outgive God? You can't, listen, I can worship him with everything my being, and I don't walk out of the room going, well, that was a waste of time. I'm always more rewarded than I feel like he is. He gives more than I give. When I invest time, when my soul sings, you know that song, my soul sings, my soul sings. I don't just sing the words to that song, but I engage my soul and I go, everything in me just wants to sing that. How I love you, how I love you. And that's hard for us who are mental people. That's hard for us who are stuck in our heads, because I don't know how to get to my soul all the time. So listen, sometimes there's the awkward in-between phase. I want to get real practical with this now. I want to dive into how do you actually use this in your life. I think we need to let ourselves get carried away with the actual meaning of the words that we're singing, the intention of the words that we're singing. We've got to engage with that. And sometimes you sing it until you mean it. But we have to try to mean it. I could sing a song 100 times, and if I'm not trying to mean it, I won't mean it. It'll be just a dry song. Like that's what a lot of musicians do, right? Like they go and they do these events and these concerts. Some of them you can see they're pouring their emotions into it, and some of them you can see like they've sung this 100 times and they're just singing another song. There's a difference between when I'm singing and I'm activating my spirit. Listen, we isolate that specific part of ourselves and we go, God, I want my spirit to be engaged with this. I want everything in me. I don't want this to just be emotional. I don't want this to just be mental. I actually want my spirit connected in this. And he actually says, like I said in Colossians, Ephesians, that's how we are filled with his spirit. That's one of the ways that we can connect with him. So here's what I do. Here's a practical level. This is what I do. I will drive in my car. I'm by myself and I just sing. And I sing my prayers, and I sing my frustration, and I sing my struggle. And I do this all the time. I do. I don't do it for, you know, I don't maybe do it for like an hour at a time. It might just be a couple minutes. It might just be a couple minutes where I go, God, I'm lost right now, and I need you. I need more. And then my heart turns, and every time. Listen, sometimes doing that shifts where I'm at, and I just tell him what's going on. You don't worry about the tone. You don't worry about the lyrics. It doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to sound good, okay? the Lord's not looking at you going, I'll give that a C minus. And you know, there was a moment, my kids were, most of them were sleeping, and I was in their room. I think I was like laying in bed with one of them, helping him fall asleep, and I heard one of them singing. And I pulled out my phone and I started recording. It's pitch black in there. I'm recording video of the darkness just to hear my son singing, because it was a holy moment. When my kids sing, I don't care what's going on, it hits me. And I'm not sitting there going, oh, you sing an F sharp instead of an F, and you know. I actually have that kind of pitch, I can hear that. But I'm not sitting there like nitpicking them. I'm going, oh, I hear the purity of that expression. I hear what's flowing out of you, and it fills me with so much joy. I wish in those moments that I could like wrap them up in a big hug and that they wouldn't stop. I want it to keep going. And listen, that's how God feels about us. When we sing our souls to him and we sing our hearts to him, it's biblical, it's right, it's spiritual to sing your song to the Lord and to not worry about what you sound like. Here's what I'd encourage you to do. I'd encourage you, because the first several times you do it, it's going to feel awkward, and you're going to be in your car and people are going to just listen. They'll just think you're singing to the radio. Don't feel awkward. Like, they're cool. And just do it. And listen, it's going to be awkward. My encouragement to you is sing past the point where it feels awkward. Sing until it stops feeling awkward. Because what's going to happen is you're going to try it at first and it's going to feel weird. And then you'll hit this flow where all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is the real stuff. Like, and you'll just start singing the real stuff to God. And then when his presence shows up, that's when the tears will flow. He has shown up for me so many times in that space. So many times. And even when I haven't sensed his presence, there's times where I haven't, but what I have sensed is a shift in myself where the fear, the anxiety, the I'm not run by my feelings anymore. I've actually felt a shift inside of myself. And so sometimes it's, man, your presence filled my car. I feel your love over me. I feel your tenderness. And then guess what? Prophetic begins to flow out. Then I begin to sing and declare life. I begin to declare, Lord, I'm established in you. I'm secure. Everything I have, I've been given by you, and it's all yours. And we just get in this circle. This is what David did. David spent hours in the watches of the night with his sheep. And he would just sing, God, the wonders of who you are. And he'd sing, this is how I feel and what I'm going through right now. It's like a sleepover where nobody sleeps and they just keep talking. And the Lord goes, this is so good. I love this so much that I'm going to drop some of my own notes into your song. Did you know I'm going to be sending my son? I'm going to put some of this into your music. I'm going to put some of this into what you're singing because I love this so much. The prophetic begins to flow. The spirit begins to flow because of that vulnerable openness. Here's the thing. Some of you guys might go, oh, David, this is easy for you. You're musical. Like I said, I wasn't always musical. For years and years and years, I would lip sync in church. I would not sing a note. I was terrified of my voice. I thought I sounded horrible. And I probably did back there. There's times where it wasn't great. But I would lip sync. And then I went to a choir after we moved. And in the choir, I was singing because I was like, well, I guess nobody can hear me. I'm actually in choir, so I'll try. So I was singing, and the choir director stopped everybody. And this was a big choir. This was probably 60 people. And he looked over at me, and he said, Mr. Reyes, you have a wonderful voice. As soon as he said Mr. Reyes, I was filled with terror. I was like, don't you dare isolate me in front of all these people. I actually opened my mouth, and I actually let sound come out. Don't you? Why would you do this to me? And then he said, you have a wonderful voice. And I was like, I didn't know what to do with that. But it gave me the courage to keep trying. I stopped lip syncing so much. I started trying. I started learning. And listen, I started leading worship for my youth group. And it was not a joyful noise all the time. In fact, half the time, this is puberty season, guys. My voice was cracking. I can't tell you how many times I screeched my way through a worship song. And you know what? Holy Spirit fell anyway, because thank God it wasn't about me. Sometimes we're so hard on ourselves, and I want to encourage us to try this, because I have found it to be massively impactful in my life. Listen, I'm giving you my secrets, okay? These are my secrets. Song of Songs, this, I could keep going, but these are some of the ways that I say, my spirit needs the Lord. I don't know what to do. Well, I do. I'm going to sing to him. If you want an encounter with the Lord, sing your song to him. It's not because being emotionally vulnerable is easy for me either. Catherine will tell you, like, I'm not just glowing with emotion all the time. In fact, I'm a very, like, analytical, like, here's what's going on. Like, big emergency situations come up, and how do I respond? Oh, I'm even keel. That's just me. That's my personality. So it's not that it's simple for me to access my emotions, but I've made a practice of it, and I've made the decision that vulnerability is a value. Vulnerability is a value. And if we can make that a value and say, Lord, I would rather feel awkward and weird and embarrassed and vulnerable with you because I want to encounter, I want to be filled with your spirit. I want to prophetically flow in a way that I'm declaring life over my life, not just the death of what I can see. We have to have that mentality that says vulnerability is a value.